SBS Radio.
The Commonwealth Games came to the Gold Coast in 2018, and it was the biggest event in Australia this decade. It's the biggest event on the Gold Coast ever. We knew that it would change the nature of the community forever. So one of the legacy items, because it was such a community-changing event, was there was a mascot, and it was a blue koala. Get that, a blue koala. And they named it an Aboriginal name. They called it Burrabee. Now, it was the first mascot in Australia's history to ever have an Aboriginal name. So all the other animals never carried an Aboriginal name. Burrabee did. And I will take some credit, and we advocated very strongly for that here at the Yugambeh Museum. So Burrabee came out, and then we said to the Commonwealth Games Federation, the Burrabee was so popular with people, and especially with kids, we said, he's the first mascot to carry an Aboriginal name. What if we were allowed to use the mascot after the games to continue to promote Aboriginal language? Because there are more than 300 languages at the time of first contact. Now 90% are endangered. And we know that teaching language not only just empower young Aboriginal people and help them close the gap because it gives them pride and gives them a sense of identity, but it helps non-Aboriginal kids. You learn a second language and your brain actually gets bigger. And it's so we thought, wow, wouldn't this be an amazing thing? So we wrote to Comm Games Federation and they said, look, in our 88-year history, we've never given the mascot a second life after the event. We just, you know, we basically put them in the box and they disappear. No one's ever done it before, certainly no one Indigenous. We've never given the rights to a third party. And there was a pause and they said, but you know, we like your idea. So for the first time ever in the world's history, the mascot from a Commonwealth Games was rebirthed, and we were given the rights to take him, change his bib from saying Commonwealth Games 2018, which dates him immediately, to say, Jingari, I'm Burrabee. Hello, I'm a koala called Burrabee. And now that is what we have launched. So in schools all throughout southeast Queensland, there's these lessons appearing where this blue bear pops up on your screen and tells you how to speak language. But most excitedly, we realised it's so popular, he needs his own day. This bear is so popular, he needs his own day. So Burrabee Day, during Reconciliation Week, so Friday the 31st of May, we encourage everyone to celebrate Burrabee Day. Yeah, and what that means is, I don't care if you only use three Aboriginal words. Just use some words. And you probably find, especially if you're living in Queensland, that your suburb is an Aboriginal word. If you're living at Talabudra, if you're living in, I don't know, Tin Can Bay, if you're living in Coomera, if you're living in Pimpama, these are Aboriginal words.
If you live in Woolloomooloo in New South Wales or
So wherever you are.
Woi, or
And it becomes a bit of fun too, because you've got to find out who said those words and what does it mean.
Yeah.
And that's always a bit of fun, because Mudjerabar, some will tell you it means sticky baby poo, I won't comment on that on the show, but it creates a bit of discussion about language and what it means and why would they call it that to start with. But it's more an invitation. Don't worry about getting this pronunciation wrong. Don't worry if you don't know how to say it. Have a crack, because your little step on Burrabee Day will help Aboriginal communities everywhere in their fight to get their languages re-spoken.
Yeah, I know. When I looked at, I saw some of the videos that are available online. It's a cute little koala, and though the graphics look very nice and simple, but the message behind it, because when it leaves its imprint, that imprint is full of significance and symbolism. It's not just an imprint. It's got dots that have got a significance, lines have got a meaning. It's a very, very powerful message that it portrays there.
So this organisation some 30 years ago founded the first national organisation for Aboriginal languages. And my mother, I'm very proud to say, Patricia O'Connor, she instigated that and she formed the first national organisation. So I carry on in her footsteps with this. And that's why the message is quite powerful, is quite well thought out, because we're 35 years old, this organisation. And what we're realising is Burrabee can help us move towards getting a fluent language. And a fluent language is one where you have 500 speakers from three generations. No Aboriginal language has ever come back from being lost, which we were told we were lost
to
35 years ago.
Yeah.
But we're hoping Burrabee will join us in our quest, which he will, and in 35 years' time, we want to stand up and say, hey, we're an Aboriginal language that's been taken from lost to now being fluent again.
Yeah, and plus you've got tools as well, and more than tools to revive these languages, including online tools and apps as well.
So Borobudur isn't going to cost you a cent. You go online to yugambeh.com, and we have colouring in sheets for little people. We have word lists for people. We have all the things you need. And it can be as simple as annual work, just saying Jingiri Jimbala, which is hello, my friend, rebadging your toilets with words for toilets. It could be anything that's simple for you to do that celebrates language. And what that also creates is a conversation where people go, well, I'm not actually from the Gold Coast, I'm from Sydney. And you say, well, Google what's the language word in Sydney for hello.
Yeah.
And that way we're...
And Google, you know, for the language, for the... I mean, the name of that country as well, because we're using names, but the Kulin Nation, who knows where the Kulin Nation, if you don't ask where that is and where the Noongar people live and all that. I think it's very important, very powerful tools that you're putting out there.
And so this is... Borobudur becomes this national invitation for people to celebrate and have a crack and do it without fear that you'll be... offending anyone, or that anyone will be offended, and anyone will be saying you can't do that, because it's a day where we, probably the largest and the oldest Aboriginal language centre in the country, are saying for the sake of our children, Mobo Jarjum we talk about, Mobo tomorrow, Jarjum children, for tomorrow's children's sake, we're imploring you to learn a few words. It could be 3, it could be 10, you might do 100. So you can download things for free, and they're great activities for kids in schools and for coffee shops and in your workplace. But if you really want to move to the next level and have really what we call flashy collateral, you can buy at a price a deck chair with Borobudur on it. You can buy a 1 meter tall stand-up Borobudur to stand in the corner of your lounge room, or your corporate office, or your reception space within your doctor's surgery. You can buy all sorts of stuff that's beautifully presented, and we're a museum. We're not here to make money, but it comes at a cost. You can buy a T-shirt. You can buy all sorts of things that help spread the message that Borobudur is here to encourage you to use words, and especially on Borobudur Day.
Yeah, Borobudur Day, and it's happening in the world... of the indigenous languages, which is a really exciting thing. But how did you manage to bring not only the Commonwealth Game but also the Queensland Government on board this project?
The way we managed to get the Commonwealth Games and the Queensland Government to back this project is, I guess, by we've been around for a long time, and we know what public sentiment is like. And I did this funny thing when I heard the Commonwealth Games was coming to town. I gathered the smart men and women in my community, and we presented ourselves to the Commonwealth Games hierarchy, the men and women running it. And we said, we're local, we want the Games to deliver language. And the Commonwealth Games organisations were 100% behind that. They said, we try and deliver. Commonwealth Games isn't like the Olympic Games, which is all about the sport and the fastest time. Commonwealth Games, every country is allowed to send someone. It doesn't matter if they take them, you know, an hour to do 100 metres. Every country gets to line up because it's a social event for the Commonwealth people. We're now 70 countries are involved in the Commonwealth. It's a third of the globe. And it carries with it this huge weight of legacy that they try and make sure every country they visit is left in a better position financially. In terms of infrastructure, they're in a better position. But most importantly, a social legacy. And this is the difference between the Commonwealth Federation and any other sporting event that turn up and leave. So Commonwealth Games, the third biggest multi-sport event in the world, but they come with a social agenda. So we fitted completely into that. And by the way, I didn't know any of this until the Commonwealth Games turned up. And as I learned about it, I went, Commonwealth Games, they're a good thing. And they are. They bring amazing hope to communities everywhere, because little countries like Tuvalu, which is...
small island with 200,000 people.
1,600 people, sorry, right?
Yes.
Guess what? They can line up at the start in the 100-meter final with someone's niece who's a good runner.
Yeah, like last year there was Usain Bolt and all those kind of people. And
and they get to stand on the line, you know, and meet guys like Usain Bolt. So you see the huge difference of this Games and how it fits into the social legacy. And this is what Borobudur is. in 10 years' time, when you come to the Gold Coast and you see a blue bear, you'll go, oh, that's that bear that tells you Aboriginal stories and gives you some language. No, so at the airport, you see him, your kids can walk over and go, oh, he's probably got a story, Daddy, about Aboriginal stuff.
Yeah, and he's a jingiri.
Jingiri, and he'll say, oh, right, this airport is built on the country of these people, and you'll get a story. And then you see him in a national park, you'll see a blue bear, and you're attracted to it, because you know, when I see a blue bear, I'm going to hear an Aboriginal story. Yeah. And that's what we've got, and that's what the Commonwealth Games Federation and Commonwealth Games Australia has empowered the Yugen Bear Museum to do. So we're very grateful for it, and we'll work very, very hard to make sure that we capitalise on this. It's a huge opportunity for Aboriginal communities Australia-wide. We're rolling it out in Yugen Bear country, and we're going to get it right with the support of the state government, because they realise too that opportunities don't come along like this every day. In fact, this is the first time in the 89-year history of the Commonwealth Games that they've done this. So we need to get it right. So over the next 12 months, we'll be talking to people in conservation, in tourism, in language, in cultural institutions, to say, how do you think Burrabee can help what you're doing? And then we'll roll out the plan for him. So it's pretty, you know, it's big league stuff. This is big stuff we're doing, and but I think we've got the right team. We are the right community to do it. And, you know, there's a big job ahead, but wow, what an opportunity. And we're so lucky to have it.
On the 31st, the inaugural day, what kind of a big event are you putting up for Burrabee?
What sort of a big what, sorry?
Event for Borrabee's
official. Okay, so if you tag Burrabee at Burrabee Jingiri into your photos, your videos or anything, on Burrabee Day, we're going to make a surprise visit at someone's place if we reckon they get what Burrabee Day's about. So we're going to have some surprise pop-up visits from Burrabee. We're probably going to go visit the mayor's office, because Mayor Tom Tate, mayor of the Gold Coast, he's a Burrabee fanatic. He just loves him, and he's been a big supporter of getting his name out to do this. When the mayor gets up to speak, he speaks in Yugen Bear if he can. He always greets people with jingiri, and he recorded a video encouraging everyone in his city, you know, 600,000 people, to use Yugen Bear whenever they can. And he put that on his website. So, you know, people like that will probably pop around and see the mayor, and see, because he'll have his office decked out with deck chairs and standees and stickers and word bubbles stuck up on his wall. Yeah. His water cooler will give that Guang an Aboriginal name. So he's a great he's a mascot for our mascot, if you like. And we'll probably visit a few other people who have, you know, come to us and said, hey, we're really engaged in this. We're really invested in Burrabee.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.